we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio Network. Glad to be with you today on the program. Hey, it's Share-a-thon week. We do this twice a year, the Tuesday through Thursday. We do a three-day share-a-thon in the fall and the spring. So we got our spring share-a-thon coming up tomorrow morning, bright and early. And this will be your opportunity to donate and help fund the work of American Family Radio. So be on the lookout for that. Be on the lookout for that share-a-thon coming up tomorrow through Thursday. We'll have Rick Green in studio with us. Rob West will be on with us as well one day. And I'll be on with Rob West each day on Faith and Finance, the show by Rob West there, each morning on American Family Radio. We are in Psalm chapter 67 today, Psalm chapter 67. David says in verse 1, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations," verse 4 here, "let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with iniquity," or with equity rather, "and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him." So David starts out here, this psalm, by petitioning the Lord to be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us. And then he ends by declaring, "Let all the ends of the earth fear him." Fear of the Lord is good. Fear of the Lord is healthy. And we sure do need more fear of the Lord today. The story that developed that I want to get to this segment happened late last week at San Francisco State University. So the way these universities function is, of course, they're public universities funded by the government in part, and different student groups can have different events. And Raleigh Gaines, the swimmer from former University of Kentucky and Olympic swimmer, well-known multi-champion swimming swimmer from the University of Kentucky, won multiple NCAA titles, and qualified for the U.S. Olympics to represent the United States at the Olympics in 2021. Her name is Raleigh Gaines, and she's been speaking up against boys playing in girls' sports, against men competing in girls' sports. And notoriously, Raleigh Gaines competed against William Thomas, the dude from Pennsylvania that thinks he's a girl, and cheated the NCAA women's girls, the women, cheated them, cheated Raleigh Gaines and dozens of other swimmers at the NCAA championship, and William Thomas stole the championship from Raleigh Gaines. All right, that's where Raleigh Gaines comes into play, and she's been speaking out against that nonsense ever since that moment. Well, she went to the San Francisco State University to speak on this issue to the student body and also to take questions and kind of have a lively but peaceful debate, which happens all the time, or should be happening all the time, on college campuses. So that's the background. And of course, while she's there, the mob comes out and they assault Raleigh Gaines, push her into a closet. She has to hide out in this small room for 3 hours until the mob goes away. This is a left-wing mob, folks. I want to play clip two. This is Riley Gaines recounting what happened to her at the San Francisco State University.
They were screaming, of course, trans women are women. They were screaming that there will be vengeance and that this is a fight and that I'm using my white privilege. And all of these, there were threats, there were intimidation. They kept saying, open the door, let us at Riley. We want to fight her. Just let us talk to her, open the door. And so it was kind of a weird feeling because I wasn't necessarily scared of them because I understand a lot of these are empty threats in a way, but at the same time, you do have to kind of fear for your safety in a situation like that. These people, they clearly showed that they were unhinged. The way they were acting was, I can't imagine being a college student and acting that way. It was immature, of course. It was vengeful. It was violent. And it was not progressive. This was not progress. This was not moving anything in the positive forward direction. And so you do have to fear for your safety and your well-being.
That's Riley Gaines recounting what happened to her at San Francisco State University just over the weekend. And folks, this is on the heels of, this is following the, within just over a week, this is following the shooting in Nashville where a transgender deranged individual went into a Christian school and shot up the Christian school. This is not even 2 weeks after that incident. Riley Gaines goes to speak at a college campus and gets assaulted by the mob. The mob of people who are in favor of this transgender insanity. And if it wasn't evident, it's clearly evident now in recent weeks that people who promote, cheer, and are in favor of this sexual deviancy agenda, this is the mob that everybody should be concerned about. It's not the J6ers. It's not the January 6th trespassers that you should be concerned about. It's not the Trump MAGA folks that the FBI should be worried about. It's the people who promote the sexual mutilation of little children that you should be concerned about, and that is the same folks that assaulted Riley Gaines. So the left and the media tries to pitch this as, well, they ignore the main stories, but then they try to say that, you know, conservatives are we're going after transgenders and we're threatening them and we're a danger to transgenders. But in reality, folks, it's the left-wing mob that have completely lost their mind. They're the ones that are a threat to our safety. They are the primary threat. And if you don't believe me, let's go through this litany of examples where the left-wing Marxist God-haters that are mentally unstable, many of these people, and I'm not saying that lightly, many of these people are seriously mentally unstable. They're the ones that we should be concerned about. They're the ones that we need to keep an eye on. They're the ones that are threatening others. Let's go through the list. 2017. Bernie Sanders campaign volunteer goes to the baseball field in Virginia, right outside of D.C., and guns down Republican congressman. Yes, it happened. Let's move on. Fast forward to 2021. Officers in Vienna, Virginia, were called to Senator Josh Hawley's home around 7:30 p.m. Monday about a protest there. They encountered 10 to 20 protesters outside of the home of Senator Josh Hawley. So it's okay to go to the houses, the personal residence of a sitting U.S. senator. That's acceptable to the left. That's acceptable to the mob. Moving on to another story. Protesters send message to Tucker Carlson outside of his home. 2018. Rewind. They leave the message on Tucker Carlson's home. We know where you sleep at night. We know where you sleep at night, they told Tucker Carlson. They also chanted, Tucker Carlson, we will fight. They yelled, we know where you sleep at night, as Tucker Carlson's wife and children are inside. 2022. California man indicted for allegedly attempting to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh at his home. Yep, we have someone within the Supreme Court, of which we still don't know, right? That leaked the draft Roe v. Wade opinion, or the draft opinion that would end up overturning Roe v. Wade. Someone on the left inside the Supreme Court leaked that opinion, of which we still don't know. We know everybody that went onto the Capitol grounds on January 6th. We did all the, you know, the scrubbing and the grid of the cell phone data, and they know everybody that was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. But somebody leaks a draft Supreme Court opinion to the media, and we just have no idea, they say. We just can't seem to track down who leaked this draft opinion. And as a result, Nicholas Rosk went to Brett Kavanaugh's home with the intent of assassinating him because he didn't like Brett Kavanaugh's politics. Left-wing man from California goes to assassinate a sitting Supreme Court justice. What about the summer of riots? Oh, I'm sorry. It was supposed to be the summer of peace. It ended up being a summer of riots, and thousands and thousands and thousands of left-wing goons marched around our city streets, destroyed businesses, destroyed private property, assaulted innocent civilians, all in the name of social justice. Oh, and just recently, listen to this. Bruce Springsteen, the musician, his guitarist named Stephen Von Zandt, he just posted, I don't know, within the last 2 days, that we need to, quote, exterminate GOP cockroaches on his Twitter feed. And then I've got this article of 170 plus examples of left-wing violence against conservatives just since the 2016 presidential cycle. And I want to play this last clip. Let's listen to what the White House has to say about all of this.
According to the Human Rights Campaign, more than 50% of transgender youth in the U.S., which is estimated to be more than 150,000 kids, live in states in which transgender youth have lost access to or at risk of losing access to gender-affirming care. Look, this is awful news. Let's be very clear about that. LGBTQI plus kids are resilient. They are fierce. They fight back. They're not going anywhere. And we have their back. This administration has their back.
So there you have it. We have Colorado Springs. By the way, someone in Colorado Springs arrested. Transgender individual, confused about their sex, confused about their gender, arrested just a couple days ago, was going to shoot up the city, Colorado Springs. We have the girl who thinks she's a boy, struggling with gender dysphoria and transgenderism in Nashville, goes up and shoots up the Christian school. Riley Gaines gets assaulted at San Francisco State University. The left is actively encouraging violence against people who don't think like them. And what does the White House have to say about that? That transgenders are strong and they fight back. They know just how to fight back. And the White House says, and we have their backs. Folks, it's clear the only people that promote and carry out violence against any political class is the left. They thrive off violence.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. After the widespread reporting of the imminent indictment of former President Donald J. Trump in Manhattan, many were braced to see specifically what crime he was accused of committing. The indictment's release confirms that this is nothing more than a raw exercise of political retribution and abuse of formal process. Legal experts across the entirety of the national landscape have resoundingly concluded that this indictment is vacuous. The most concerning part of this whole debacle is that we have now firmly entered the era of weaponization of government office to destroy political opponents. Pray for America.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Raising Godly Girls Minute with Patty Garibay of American Heritage Girls.
God created a vast world full of beauty and variety. One great way to appreciate this wonderful world is to explore it. Summer offers the open door to travel for many families. School's out, the weather's warmer, and it just makes sense. In Genesis 11, the people stayed self-focused and didn't spread out, so God made many languages, thereby launching them into the various cultures we see today. When we explore people and cultures different from our own, we receive two gifts: a chance to spread the gospel message and an opportunity to appreciate the beautiful work of art that is humanity. Make a list of places to visit, virtually or by travel. No matter the budget, exploring other cultures is accessible to your girl. Be sure to praise God along the way for all that He has made.
Like what you've heard? Learn more about empowering girls through the love of God at RaisingGodlyGirls.com.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Well, as we do each week, we try to bring guests on the show that can shed some light on what's going on in our world, what's going on in our society, and do so all from a biblical perspective, just so that Christians are fully aware, fully engaged, fully knowledgeable on the issues of the day that are directly tethered to the Word of God and what God's Word says about the issues of the day. And so I do want to introduce our next guest. We have on with us Andy Berger. She's a human trafficking survivor, an advocate, and also author of A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest to a Rescue. Andy, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here today.
Well, Andy, but before we jump into this, deeper into this issue, if you will, of human trafficking and how widespread it is, although many people don't understand that, give our audience a little bit of your biography, your background, and how you ended up being such an advocate.
Absolutely. Well, before there was a term called human trafficking, Walker, I was actually trafficked by all immediate and some extended family members in the early 60s and 70s. When, as a culture, we weren't even talking about child abuse. So from the ages of 6 months to 17 years old, that's how long I endured the violations and the beatings and all of the brutal stuff that goes with being controlled and manipulated by people that are actually supposed to love you and protect you, which would be, you know, my birth parents. And so by the age of five, the torment was so intense. I thought, you know, if I just kill myself, everyone will be better off, and at least no one will touch me anymore. I won't be forced into things I don't want to do. So I went out to the curb of my house, and I sat there waiting for a car to be coming by fast enough. And, you know, that day no car came by, but what did happen was I saw this huge blue sky, and I thought, I wonder if somebody out there made that and how far it goes, and are they bigger than the people that are hurting me? And that's exactly when I heard this voice within my heart saying, this is not the plan I have for you. Suicide is not the answer. And in my life, that was God, and other people's lives could be something else. But I listened to that voice. I trusted it, and I went up to the garage, and I leaned against it, and I just looked into that sky, and I said, if you keep me alive, I'll do whatever you call me to do. And so that's how it started. But the last time my birth mother tried to kill me, I was 17. So it was a very hard and painful road. But at the end of the day, fast forward, you know, 60 years, and here I am able to hopefully help others not have to go through that pain, or to help them recover if they have gone through that pain.
Yeah, Andy, I haven't read, of course, I haven't read your book, but I'm semi-familiar with your testimony. But how did you get out? Did someone come in your life and help you escape this tragedy?
No, as I said, you know, when you're a minor, and in the early 60s and 70s, if you're a minor, you're stuck, or you were stuck, because I did try to escape a couple of times, you know, through a babysitter and somebody else, but they thought it would be better if I was back with my parents and that we worked things out. And working things out with people who are predators, familial predators, family members, meant more pain and just brutal consequences for me. So it wasn't actually until I went to college at 18 and got to see how other people lived and how other kids were raised and things that happened. It was shocking because I had been so controlled and so isolated from all family members and anyone that could have helped me. But I learned a lot in those years, and I decided that I would excel in education and in the business world. And then people would like me. They would have to love me, right? Because I would be that good. I had a lot of growing to do.
Well, let me ask you this. Tell our audience, some know this because they've read up or listened to people who speak on this issue. But for those who don't know or who just need to be reminded, remind our audience of how prevalent this is, how widespread this issue of human trafficking is.
Absolutely. Right now, human trafficking is fast becoming the second greatest illegal enterprise in America and globally. It's $160 billion with a B, billion-dollar industry. About 95 to 98 billion of that is sex trade, sex activity. Right here in the U.S., to bring it closer to home, where people think, oh, it doesn't happen in my neighborhood, I know everybody, or that teacher's so nice, or that dentist is so good. Every 40 seconds, Walker, in America, a child 18 years and under is abducted. That means they're taken or they're lured into something that seems safe, whether it's a party at school, a sleepover, a summer job, things like that. Every 40 seconds, we lose a kid in this country. And that's not even including the 5 a day we lose just to child abuse.
Andy, parents, we've got a lot of parents and families that are listening. What's something you could tell parents that what are some things to look out for? Some things that you could warn parents for, just to equip them to ensure that those, not only their children, their biological direct children, but also children that are in their life. What can you do as a parent, as a grandparent, or just as an adult to ensure that this doesn't happen to those loved ones around you?
Absolutely. I'll give some tactical and then a couple of things that we ought to be doing as a national community, a neighborhood community. First thing off is voicesagainsttrafficking.com is our website. And on that site are helplines and hotlines. If you see something, suspect something, you need to say something. And these are hotlines that are safe for you to use to say, look, I noticed something at the airport, or I noticed something at the grocery store. Put those numbers in your file right away. Second thing is, you know, maybe you have a couple of those kids that are always at your house that never want to go home, that would rather have sleepovers, you know, with your kids. You know, usually there's something kind of going on. You just want to take note of their behavior. If your children have sudden behavior changes, that could also be another sign, because predators don't look like the ones you see in movies. I mean, sometimes, but they look like your librarian or the guy down the street or the girl down the street. If your children are interacting with coaches or they're going to sleepovers, find out who's going to be there. So, for example, you may know the parent and you may feel you know them well. And as radical as it sounds, I always suggest if you're going to let a child sleep anywhere with adults, background checks, unless they're immediate family and you know them. And as wild as that is, I lived through that and I barely lived through it, so I know. Yeah. But again, are the brothers and sisters of that friend going to be there? Who are they? Who do they hang out with? Also, please be more diligent. Check the history on your child's or your young adult's cell phone. But most importantly, tell them why. You're not trying to police them. You're trying to protect them. But if we don't open the conversation up in our own family, mm-hmm. our kids are more at risk from not knowing, from not being prepared, than they are even from predators sometimes.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, I want to make sure parents understand that it's good, it's proper, it's moral to be protective over your children. I mean, you know, there's oftentimes this narrative that you're being a helicopter parent, and they use, you know, the people use these demeaning terms to describe parents that are responsible mm-hmm. and attentive parents. But it's good to know everything about what your child is doing and to know whose home they're going to, and to use caution and wisdom there. So very good points there, Andy. Let me ask you this. This is also very prevalent, and that is the role of technology here. Technology yeah. is everywhere. More and more young people are having access to these phones and internet and social media, which is questionable in and of itself, giving you know, 13, 14-year-olds, unlimited access to the internet. But what role is technology playing in this human trafficking travesty?
It is huge. Honestly, there are about 300,000 predators a day trolling for your child, your niece, your nephew, your cousin, your sister, your brother. So they are trolling to find the vulnerable, to find those that they can deceive and influence. So if we don't check out the information... Same with gaming. Walker, we need to be careful, because a lot of games that children use or young adults use, video games on their phone, they look safe for the first 5 or 10 minutes. But there are some games where they get taken into a room where anything sexual can happen. They can engage in anything they want. So even if you say, well, yeah, I checked it out, I watched it for 5 or 10 minutes, you have to go all the way through. Yes, it takes time, but due diligence, as we talked about. So our kids are our most valuable resource and treasure in our lives. And if we are not willing to sacrifice to save them, then we will pay the ultimate price and not have a future, not have a country.
Mm. Hey, Andy, tell our audience what your website is, where they can read about your latest magazine you mentioned earlier in the break, Voices of Courage, and, of course, your book.
Absolutely. So voicesagainsttrafficking.com. Again, helplines, hotlines, information. You can buy our book, Voices Against Trafficking, The Strength of Many Voices Speaking as One. That's what we're trying to do. We're inviting you to be a voice with us against this 21st century slavery, this crime against humanity. So go to voicesagainsttrafficking.com for that book. On Amazon, you can also find it. And also my first book, A Little More About My Story and Four of the Kids My Husband and I Have Rescued Over the Years, A Fragile Thread of Hope, One Survivor's Quest, the Rescue. And then our new magazine, Voices of Courage, highlighting everyday heroes and bringing out truth with hope in Voices of Courage. And that is on voicesofcourage.media, voicesofcourage.media. Order today, help support us. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. So when we rescue, when we put out public awareness materials for the schools and other things, that's what we use that money for. We're all volunteers just trying to do God's work and expand the tent pegs on this issue.
Mm, that's good. Hey, thanks so much, Andy, for coming on and highlighting this with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's been an honor.
All right. That's Andy Berger. She's a trafficking survivor, also an author, and and running the website voicesagainsttrafficking.com that she just mentioned there. So we'll link to that on the podcast page at AFR.net. A very, very widespread issue, more widespread than you would think. And also Steve Tiber over at 8 Days of Hope, his team has been working on this as well, building safe houses around the nation for women and children that are escaping human trafficking. That's what the topic was we were just talking to Andy about. I want to jump back on this issue that I mentioned in the first segment. I've got another clip, and this is so important to play just to really put this thing all in context. But Riley Gaines, as I mentioned, was the University of Kentucky swimmer that was beat, or actually tied, William Thomas, the dude who thinks he's a girl. They actually tied, and I didn't know all this. They tied, and the NCAA gave him the trophy and not her because they wanted to come off as woke and affirming of this insanity. But let's listen to Riley Gaines' testimony here, her story about all that she went through with William Thomas and him trying to and him swimming and competing in women's swim team.
My name is Riley Gaines. I'm a recent graduate from the University of Kentucky, where I was on the women's swim team. I proudly finished my career as a 12-time NCAA All-American, a 5-time SEC champion. I am one of the fastest 200 butterflyers of all time. But on March 17th of last year, my teammates and I were, and other female swimmers from universities around the country, were forced to compete against a biological male named Leah Thomas. Thomas was allowed to compete in the women's division after competing as a member of the University of Pennsylvania's men's swim team for 3 years. We watched on the side of the pool as Thomas won a national title in the 500-yard freestyle, beating out the most impressive and accomplished female athletes in the country, including Olympians and American record holders. Whereas just the year before, Thomas at best was ranking in the 400s in the men's category. The next day, Thomas and I raced in the 200 freestyle, which ended up in a tie. We went the exact same time down to the 100th of a second. Having only one trophy, the NCAA told me that I would go home empty-handed and this trophy would go to Thomas. And when I questioned this, the NCAA told me that Thomas had to hold it for photo purposes. I was shocked. I felt betrayed and belittled, reduced to a photo op. But my feelings didn't matter. What mattered to the NCAA were the feelings of a biological male. In 1972, Congress enacted Title IX to end unjust sex discrimination in all aspects of education, including college athletics. But by allowing Thomas to displace female athletes in the pool and on the podium, the NCAA intentionally and explicitly discriminated on the basis of sex. Although the NCAA claimed it acted in the name of inclusion, its policies in fact excluded female athletes. But that is not all. In addition to being forced to give up our awards, our titles, and our opportunities, the NCAA forced female swimmers to share a locker room with Thomas, a 6'4", 22-year-old male who was fully intact with male genitalia. Let me be clear. We were not forewarned. We were not asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent. If nothing else, I hope you can truly see how this is a violation of our privacy and how some of us have felt uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassed and even traumatized by this experience. I know I don't speak for everyone. It's impossible to speak for everyone, but I can attest to the tears that were shed on that pool deck by these poor 9th and 17th place finishers who missed out on being named an All-American by one place. And I can attest to the extreme discomfort in the locker room when you turn around and there is a male watching you undress while exposing himself. I can attest to the anger and frustration from these girls who had worked so hard and sacrificed so much to get to this point. Unfortunately, our experiences are not unique. The number of female athletes who have been denied opportunities, again, traumatized or hurt by policies that claim to be promoting inclusion, is growing at an alarming rate around this country. It's simply unacceptable, and the integrity of women's sports is lost.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks so much.
Folks, this is a sick and wicked agenda. This is a sick and wicked agenda. And we need more parents and more dads, more fathers speaking out against this nonsense and not letting their daughters become victim to it.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
In spite of more than 1.5 million people signing a pledge to boycott Target, they refuse to admit they're wrong. Their policy that allows men who identify as women to use the changing rooms and restrooms right alongside women and girls is morally wrong. But it's worse than that. Ironically or prophetically, it makes women and girls targets of predators. Need proof? In just the last year, at least 5 incidents of men photographing and filming women as they undressed have made the news. Target hopes you don't care, but we know you do. If you've signed the pledge, please hold firm and pass the word along to family and friends. If you haven't signed it, or if you're on the fence and want proof Target's policy is dangerous, read the alert, 5 Reasons Families Should Boycott Target Stores, when you visit AFA.net. You'll find links to the news stories and more. Now is the time to make your convictions known and stand strong. Visit AFA.net today.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio, with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Don't forget to check out our video. You can go over to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net, and watch the show if you want to. And, of course, we do publish a show in the form of a podcast each afternoon. So go ahead and subscribe to At the Core Podcast if you want to go back and listen, or share the podcast with your family and friends. Well, continuing this whole discussion on human dignity and the dignity of women, and how he created us, men and women, in his image, I do want to introduce Becky Rasmussen. She's founder of Call to Freedom and a well-known spokesperson on the issue of human trafficking as well. So continuing this discussion, I do want to introduce Becky to the program. Becky, thanks for coming on.
Walker, thanks for having us.
Well, Becky, tell us how you got involved in this issue of human trafficking, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're founded in South Dakota, and I founded Call to Freedom in 2016, and knew that doing something to play my part as far as helping those that have been victimized by human trafficking was going to be in my future. I didn't know really what it looked like until 2015. Had an encounter with a young girl at one of the largest events here in South Dakota, which is called our Sturgis Bike Rally. And about 400 to 500,000 people come for about 10 days into our communities. And we know when anytime there's large events happening within communities that there's a potential for any illegal activity from drugs, guns, to human trafficking as well. And so we were doing outreach in that community, and I had an encounter with a young girl in August of 2015 that forever changed my life. Her name is Marissa, and we actually have a housing project where we house women and their children named after her and my encounter with her. And she, long story short, she was a missing kid who had been found and then went missing again. And it looked like she was a high risk for human trafficking. And to this day, we have not retrieved her. And when that happened and I had that 10-minute conversation with a very scared young lady, I just began to ask the questions, how do you find a missing kid? And how do they go missing again? And they began to tell me about the lack of services for those kids that are vulnerable for exploitation or even for human trafficking. And when I walked away, I knew that I could either do something about it or I could just know something and turn my back. And God had a different plan for me and stepped into a call in 2016 where I opened Call to Freedom, and we provide supportive services, trauma-informed nonprofit that have comprehensive, ongoing, and coordinated supportive services for all individuals impacted by human trafficking and commercial exploitation. And to date, we've had over thousands of individuals who have walked through our doors that need a lot of support to get out of those situations. And so I'm here in South Dakota, but have been very much an advocate, not only here in this area, but also around the United States, and sharing the voice of survivors. Our program is led by survivor input. So we developed Call to Freedom through our experience and journey with survivors, but also we have a survivor group that leads our program development from housing to education to workforce to mental health and addiction. All of those are kind of compassed into the journey of a survivor. So here I am today, very much an advocate for those that have been victimized by this horrific injustice.
Becky, let me ask you this. Of course, we know at the end of the day, it comes down to a heart problem, a sin problem, and human nature, and people do bad things. I mean, we have to come to grips with that. But from a systemic standpoint, meaning from a policy standpoint, from a law standpoint, from a governmental perspective, what's some of the key things that are going wrong here? I mean, of course, you know, people are always going to do evil things, but we have to fight back against this and do what we can to stop it. But at a governmental or a policy level, not just in South Dakota, but around the nation, what are some blaring issues that are going wrong that are definitely not helping the issue?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about brokenness, not only from the victims who walk through the doors, but also from those who are purchasing individuals for this exploitation. And you have this broken cycle that needs to be addressed as a whole, because if we don't address the demand, and we call that the person who's buying the sex or exploiting somebody for labor, if we don't address that demand, we're going to have more victims than we've ever had. So from a policy standpoint, I think human trafficking is very difficult to investigate, and it needs a lot of resources. It's definitely one of those legal areas that you have to be very proactive instead of reactive. And I've just seen in my work that a lot of our systems are very reactive to problems. They're not proactive. And so these investigations require a lot of resources, a lot of manpower, and we don't have the funding to really deal with that illegal cycle. So you have a demand. So if the demand wants a blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl who's from the Midwest, that trafficker who's a business person is going to find whatever is going to make him a lot of money. And so in that scenario, the victims look very different, because there isn't one stereotype for a victim, because the demand has different needs. I think we're seeing now is a lot of young boys who are falling victim to sextortion, pornography, victimization online. And so enable for us to address those, we really need Instagram and Facebook and some of those social media outlets to really give us the rights to be able to monitor that activity, because if we're not monitoring that activity, it's happening in the dark and it's facilitating quite rapidly. And so, you know, we really need a group on that policy side who is constantly watching the changing business that happens from human trafficking, because it just doesn't happen one way. And as soon as we figure out one way, they're changing it. So it's really a committee or a group that's really analyzing what's going on and what are the current trends. And so that requires a lot of resources and it requires a lot of manpower. And I think that's what we need to be able to fight human trafficking.
Yeah. And Becky, you know, these big tech platforms, they claim to care about people, and they claim to care about right and wrong. Thus they, you know, they jump in and censor certain content. Sometimes they block certain content that's not really objectionable. It's just speech. But then other times they do, I guess, jump in and on illegal activities such as human trafficking. But are these platforms very cooperative, or is it like a big bureaucracy as far as trying to get them to do anything on this issue?
You know, the cases that we've worked on in working with local and federal law enforcement, they're very difficult to work with. You have to go through a lot of channels to be able to retrieve that information. And so it's not an easy process. And so we really need to look at time is of the essence for those that are being victimized and those that are victimizing. I mean, this moves very rapidly. And once you lose somebody or they're pulled into human trafficking, it's very difficult to get them out of those situations. And so platforms are taking days, months to get information to law enforcement based on some of the cases. And so that really needs to be evaluated. Each platform is a little different in where it's, you know, jurisdiction and where it's out of. And so it just becomes very muddied. And here's the thing, traffickers know that. They know where vulnerabilities are, not only in individuals, but also in platforms like we're talking about within laws, within jurisdictions. They're very good. These people watch and they monitor the best platforms or the best avenues to facilitate this business, and they constantly change it. And so, again, we need these groups to understand that this is a time-sensitive issue, and that we need access to that information at a quicker pace.
Yeah. Well, Becky, you recently released a book called Call to Freedom, A Parent's Guide to Understanding Human Trafficking and Healing Their Children. Give us a glimpse into this book, and what are some tips that you do give parents to help avoid their child or their loved ones getting tied up in this twisted and sick movement?
Yeah. So this was actually A Parent's Guide to Understanding Human Trafficking and Healing Their Children was written by survivors. And it was a really amazing perspective of a collaboration that came together of a grandmother who actually her granddaughter was the first survivor to walk through the doors of Call to Freedom when we first opened our doors to today, where she mentors and is on staff. And this young lady is doing very well today and is out of those situations. But she was a grandmother who walked through the doors and had no idea what was happening to her daughter. And then also an individual who is trafficked, her name is Mary. You'll see them as referred to as Mary's Moments. And she was trafficked by the Medellinian cartel. And so you have two very unique perspectives, one from a family that lived this to a survivor who lived this. And they came together in a collaborative effort to develop this resource guide because they didn't want people, A, to fall into these circumstances, and B, as a family, feel hopeless in those situations. And it's a beautifully written book by lived experiences, which you don't have a lot of those resources out there for human trafficking. And so what we want to be able to do is three things. Number one, we want prevention. We want individuals to understand how human trafficking works, and so they can prevent these scenarios within their child's life or their loved one's life. And then also number two, intervention. It talks about if you're in this situation, how do you navigate not only your child, loved one's emotions, but also yours? Because human trafficking not only affects that individual who's being pulled into it, but the entire family. And it just seems like a very hopeless and out of control situation. And so we use lived experiences of navigating those circumstances while you're in the midst of it. And then number three is really to talk about how do you, if you are a parent, a loved one who has a child or somebody you know that's in it and they're out of it now, how do you work with that trauma? What does trauma look like after the impact of human trafficking? And this book covers all of those areas. And I think that's what's key, is because it really gives you an inside look from a lived perspective of individuals who can give you insight that most of the time we were getting calls from all over the United States saying, I think my child is being pulled into human trafficking. How do I stop this? And we were navigating these from Michigan, New York, all over the United States. And that's where this book was birthed out of, is because I asked them, hey, put together a resource guide for parents, and so that they are able to understand what's happened to their loved one. And those two ladies got together and through that collaboration wrote this book. And so our goal for this is to get in as many hands as possible to understand what human trafficking looks like. There's a lot of misconceptions out there of what human trafficking looks like with movies like Taken. It can happen that way, but it typically is more of a manipulation grooming process that we talk about. And so people understanding that, you know, it doesn't look one way. And again, this is a business, so they will change. They will groom you for a new line of work. They'll groom you through a boyfriend. They don't always come through a male figure. Sometimes they come through a female figure. And so this is a group that's targeting our kids and individuals. It's not just one perpetrator. And so I really encourage people to get their hands on this book so they can better understand how this is facilitated and how to protect your child, especially online as well.
Becky, tell our audience where they can find this book.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to Amazon and you can look for Call to Freedom, A Parent's Guide to Understanding Human Trafficking and Healing Their Children. Or you can do a little simpler, go to calltofreedom.org if you can't remember the title of the book. And that's www.calltofreedom.org. And it's on our website, and it'll take you right to the Amazon link to order that book as well.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, thanks so much, Becky, for coming on. Becky Rasmussen, thanks for coming on, and we'll link over to this URL.
Okay, thank you for having us, Walker.
All right, absolutely. That's Becky Rasmussen, founder of Call to Freedom, and also her organization put together this this book, A Parent's Guide to Understanding Human Trafficking and Healing Their Children. If you go to calltofreedom.org, you can find that book and more information about Becky there. And if you've been listening pretty close to this show, you've connected the dots here. This overarching move to devalue life, devalue human dignity, to denigrate human dignity, to ignore God's design for male and female, and the sanctity of life. You can see that this overarching move to devalue life, it affects society and families through multiple avenues. Whether you're talking about Riley Gaines being forced to swim with a dude and use a dressing room with a man in college at the NCAA swim championship, or whether you're talking about little kids having their body just cut apart in the name of, quote, gender-affirming care, or whether you're talking about human trafficking. All these things are interconnected. They're all moral issues, and we all have to speak to the dignity and the value of human life, both male and female, at all stages of life. We have to continue pushing that so that our society will get back on track.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.